Yo, party people. Zach's judging me for that one. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Textual Tension. I'm your co-host, Rachel, and every other week I jump in here before the episode and give you guys some updates about just kind of stuff we have going on. We have an amazing episode for you guys this week. It's kind of long, though, so I'm going to see if I can't blast through these updates and stuff quickly. Wow, off to a great start. All right, first order of business, because there should always be first on our hearts and in our minds. We have new patrons. So a huge thank you to Zachary and Taylor. You guys are awesome. You're amazing. And we really, 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 really appreciate you guys supporting us. If you are curious what your support goes to, we were just able to update our website. And I think it looks great. Still under construction a little bit. But I was able to make some very, very nice updates to our podcast player that's on our website and to our blog and stuff like that. So go check that out at textualtensionpod.com. And speaking of segues, you can also check out all of our social media at textualtensionpod across the board. And hey, if you are not in a position to, you know, throw money at us for what we do and support us that way, that is totally cool. Another way you can support us that actually helps a ton is to go on your favorite podcatcher and rate and review us. That really, really helps us get out to other people and really kind of spreads the word. So if you could do that, or maybe, you know, pass us along to a friend that you think would really enjoy our particular brand of comedy, that would be super duper cool. And we want to hear from you guys. I don't know if I mentioned that enough, but we've had a couple people reach out to us. I've gotten some book recommendations. If you guys take a look at our updated website and say, hey, you did a shitty job with this, and give me recommendations for things to fix, that would be cool too. I would really appreciate that. So hit us up. We would love to hear from you guys. And hey, you can do that on our website through our contact me form. Hey. And one more thing. So for the past couple episodes and stuff, we have released our stuff on Patreon for free, just kind of as a bonus for you guys for with all the stuff that's been going on lately. And if you liked what you heard, then maybe consider hopping on over to Patreon and supporting us. Or if you haven't checked those out, go do that. This particular episode, we will be back to our regular format, but you can always go over to patreon.com/textualtension to see all of the cool stuff that we put up so far, and check all that out. And I lied to you and myself. I'm sorry. Everyone got hurt. It's my fault. I do have one more thing. We had just put up a blog post. It just went up a couple days ago about our last episode. If you haven't listened to our last episode, it was a doozy. But I did get to rant about science a whole bunch, and that didn't quite make it into the episode, so I wrote a whole blog post about it. So head on over to our website to check that out. It's really fun. The audio is there, and I did extra science just for you guys. So head on over and check that out. I hope you guys are doing great. I care about you. And if you need to talk, reach out. We love to hear from you guys about anything, whether it's recommendations for us or just how your day's going. Hit us up. We love you all. Hang in there. You're great. And without further ado, please enjoy episode 46. Don't worry. The dog is fine.
From the inside out, so I can see myself from the inside.
Hello, and welcome to Textual Tension, a love-hate relationship with romance novels. I am your co-host, Margie.
And I'm your co-host, Rachel.
Every other week, one of us reads and summarizes a romance novel for the other unsuspecting co-host or co-host. This week, it's Rachel.
Yay!
And
Savannah.
Mm-hmm. And together we unpack
what the fuck just happened.
Yeah.
Hi, Savannah. How's it going?
It's good. I'm here in the recording tent.
Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. recording cave. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very legit. Yes. We're professionals.
Well,
very
it's nice because we are actually all together.
It's true. You know? We are. Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the time of COVID-19.
Safely, yes. But yes. Together.
Yes.
It's true.
Yes. Yes.
So, listeners, Savannah is here because she's our friend and she does podcast stuff and she lives close to me and we wanted to hang out. So, we invited her over.
Last night. So, like, let's set the scene. Last night, we're all sitting at the back of the patio.
Over.
We're all drunk.
So hungover.
And we're like, come on to to the podcast tomorrow morning. It'll be great.
The best part is I almost interrupted yesterday.
You did.
I almost just walked straight in and was like, hello.
It would have been great because yesterday's was... Listeners, you heard it. It was 2 weeks ago.
It was bad.
It was real bad.
But this one is bad in a different way.
Okay.
So I think that because Savannah is our guest, I would actually like her to read the description, but I will give
you... if you're down for that.
Okay,
the image of the book, if I can frickin' pull it up.
Heck yes. Hit me with that book cover.
Let me find it. Because it won't pull up, apparently.
And listeners, there's a chance... I know who the author is, and I'm curious if I've read this book or not, because I read a lot of her stuff for my own personal enjoyment.
You may have.
Which, again, to be fair, is another reason that we invited Savannah on, in case I had.
Just in case.
Yeah, because we hope you wouldn't. Two people, right? One of us has to help.
Yeah, she's here to
You're
help
here
us.
Here to eat scones and drink coffee and hang out with us and recover from a hangover together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, here you go. It might
be. Oh, I have heard of it and started it, but never read it.
Okay. Yes!
Hell yes! So this is Nora Roberts' The Queen, The Obsession.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And Nora's name is bigger than the title, which is common for Nora.
Yes, and other romance novels.
And
actually, a lot of birds on the cover.
There is a lot of birds.
The cover really doesn't say much.
It doesn't. So this, just based on the cover and my extensive knowledge of Nora Roberts' novels, because I've read a lot of them.
Yes.
It's probably, my guess, is one of the ones where she starts to attempts to branch out away from romance in that, like, it's a suspense novel or something like that that still has the romance in it.
Mm. This is more centered around
is
the
it
romance,
more
I would say.
Okay.
I would say. It's probably, like, 50-50%, but I could see Nora trying to go in that direction.
Okay. Mm. She has absolutely succeeded in that. But
in
there
this
was some
she
attempts.
Does not do it well.
Okay, good. Great.
I'm sorry.
So, the cover is, it looks like
a beach, like a break.
Yeah, I was going to say it looks almost like a breakwater kind of deal, like going off into the distance, like a line of rocks with like sand, but I think it's water.
Yeah.
I can't tell if everything is blue. So you
it's
really
very
can't tell.
Filtered.
It's very blue. There is a real fuzzy person.
Real fuzzy.
Walking away in relief, so you can't see any of them. They're just fuzzy. And then there's a big tree, and there's some birds, and it's all blue.
Yeah,
dabu-dee-dabu-dye.
This is like almost the same bird, just like photoshopped over.
Yeah,
again.
All the birds are in very straight lines, and also there's a texture on the sky that looks almost like a woodcut.
Oh yeah,
kind of thing.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I don't think any of this is original. I think they just took some rocks and then superimposed a tree on here. And...
I would say Photoshop.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of Photoshop.
All right. Give us that description. Because I think this is one where I read like half of the first chapter and then was like, and moved on. Not because I wasn't interested.
Oh, see, I was like, the fuck?
Oh, I definitely had the fuck, but it was this moment of like, I'm not in the mood for this right now.
You are.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
that's
man.
A lot of words.
The words are hard.
It's
oh no.
A lot
I
you
feel
can
like it's
you
a
can
test.
Skip the very top part probably.
Oh yeah, that's
so start.
A,
yeah.
I don't need to do that.
All right.
Naomi Bowles lost her innocence the night she followed her father into the woods. In freeing the girl trapped in the root cellar, Naomi revealed the horrible extent of her father's crimes that made him infamous. No matter how close she gets to happiness, she can't outrun the sins of Thomas David Bowles.
Bowles.
I thought you said bowels.
Yeah,
I've been saying bows, but it doesn't come up
bowels.
A huge amount in the book.
Okay.
Bows.
I would say I said bows, but
bows
speakers.
Yeah. It's fine,
Mr. Speakers.
Okay. Now a successful photographer living under the name of Naomi Carson. She has found a place that calls to her I'm having struggles. That's a weird way to say old house.
Over.
Rambling old house in need of repair, thousands of miles away from everything she's ever known. Naomi wants to embrace the solitude. But the kindly residents of Sunrise Cove. Oh, that's
so
nice.
I forgot. I didn't know it was
Sunrise
called Sunrise Cove.
Yay. Keep forcing her to open up.
I just saw his name.
Especially the determined Xander Keaton?
Mm-hmm. Xander Keaton.
Xander Keaton, okay.
That's a name.
Naomi can feel her defenses failing and knows that the connection her new life offers is something she's always secretly craved. But the sins of her father can become an obsession. And as she's learned time and time, really, time
You're doing
and
great.
Again, her past is never more than a nightmare away. Okay.
You did it.
I'm not
going
to do any more reading aloud.
No, you don't have to. I lied. This is not the book I thought it was.
Oh.
I've not read it.
Okay.
I've read the description.
Okay.
I've not
read it. About this father first.
Yeah.
So I was actually debating letting you read the description because I was like, do I want to give that much away? I don't know. Because when you're reading, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're gonna dive right into the plot.
Triggers.
Lots of triggers. So many triggers.
Should we make bingo cards?
Well, it's a little late.
Fair.
Yeah.
Too late for bingo.
But we got sexual assault, kidnapping, murder, torture, suicide, gun violence, and these are all described pretty graphically.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I know that Rachel's really good at doing this. I don't exactly remember what Xander looks like, but I do remember what Naomi looks like. She's a tall, slim, he calls her Slim.
Who, all like, right.
Yeah, he calls her Slim. Tall, thin, pixie blonde haircut. So there
okay.
you go. That you got her.
Sure.
So, all right. So the book starts out in
then
the
Xander is that dude on the front
oh,
that is
and we're
just
also
in
gonna,
fuzzy
is
black
that
relief.
Xander?
No, but you don't. He's a void.
He's a void.
Copy paste anything you want on that
right.
face.
Just perfect. Anything you want to imagine. Anybody hot you want to imagine.
Fabio.
There, yeah. There.
It's
no,
there.
That's not.
You can't unsee.
That's not hot. That is Fabio. It's not hot. He's not.
Well.
Putting it down there.
To each
putting
their own.
It down. All right. So.
Have you seen his 12 abs?
There was one. Oh, and then we're going to play a game.
Ooh. Ooh.
Okay.
It's I like
a new
games.
Game. It's called Spot the Plot.
So, oh,
so when the plot comes back, when you think it has come back, finally, when you think it has returned to us, you let me know and I will tell you.
Will you tell us when the game starts?
The game starts at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Good. You gotta spot the plot.
Spot the plot.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
So the book starts out in the perspective of Naomi, who is 11 in the early morning hours. She lives with her mother and father and younger brother in a little town called Pine Meadows in West Virginia.
And they live, like,
small
on
town,
the...
mix small town.
Right. And they live, like, on the outskirts of town. And he's, like, the her father is, like, the reverend or something in town.
All right. Oh,
it's,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
this
a...
is very Eyes Wide Shut. It's fine.
It's a really hot morning and when Naomi wakes up and she sees her dad go out into the woods. And she knows there's a river back in the back of the woods. And she's like, oh, he's probably heading back there to, like, go swimming in the early morning because it's so hot.
That's a thing that...
She knows that her dad wouldn't be thrilled with the idea of her following him, but she's like, maybe once I get there, like, and he'll be kind of like, oh, yay, you're here, like, let's have fun, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
She's 11.
Sure.
Yeah.
11-year-olds do things like that.
Yeah. So she follows him into the woods and keeps following him because he doesn't go to the river, and she's like, where is he going? Instead, he goes down a trap door in the middle of the woods, which is just not sketchy at all. And
Bruce
Naomi,
sure.
now curious, stays and waits for him to reemerge. And when he does, he terrifies her as he does not look like himself at all. Like, he doesn't look like the dad that loves, that, you know, it's like that mm-hmm. moment of, my dad looks like an animal. It looks like a monster. So he leaves, and Naomi's curiosity gets the best of her. She opens the trap door and hears what she thinks is the sound of a puppy crying.
So is it not locked?
No.
I was going to say, if you have secret murder trapdoor in the middle of your backyard woods, maybe lock
maybe
it.
Maybe lock it? I don't know. It's also, it is very, very heavy, she describes it.
She's 11. Yeah.
But if another, like, full-grown man came by and heard
yeah.
a puppy crying.
Jesus, yeah. I have at least 3 padlocks on my murder cellar. God.
Minimum.
So,
minimum, right?
She opens a trapdoor and goes down, and she finds a woman locked in a cage, beaten and bloody. And, also in this hole in the ground
casual.
Are pictures of other women who were obviously in a similar situation. Naomi gets this girl out of the cage and out of the hole in the ground. And together, the Naomi and the girl named Ashley walk a little over a mile to the local police station. So, like, this is all described. There's not, it's strange because, like, you kind of get it. You get the point. You know what, like, I mean?
I am aware of what's happening. You don't have to describe. You don't have to describe.
Well, you don't, and this is the point where I felt like Nora could say, like, okay, and then stop, let's move on to the next part. She keeps going!
Oh, she goes
so in detail! So they get to the police station, everything comes out, her father's a serial killer responsible for the deaths of many, many women.
Great.
And it's also really sad because for a long time her mom refuses to believe it. Like, she shakes Naomi and is like, how, you can't do this, you're lying.
Oh.
It's really sad. And she's like, Mom, I found her.
I found the woman! Lying. You're right. She wasn't real. She's right here.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So luckily, about a day later, Naomi's uncle Seth comes to meet Naomi's mother, who's his sister. Yeah. And
that's how uncles work.
That's how, well, it's not her dad. It's not her dad. It's not her dad's brother.
Oh, I know. I'm just being an asshole.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And
it's my job.
Naomi's uncle Seth comes with his partner Harry, and they've been estranged because, he was also a homophobic piece of shit, not just a serial killing piece of shit.
Solid.
So they haven't seen, she hasn't seen her uncle in a very long time. God bless Seth and Harry, because they get the family out of the community that they were in and move them, the mom, the Naomi and her brother Mason, to Washington, D.C. The uncles have the children's last name changed. So now it went from Bose to Carson or whatever the fuck it was. And unfortunately, Naomi's mother does something real stupid. She sells her story on the advice of her serial killer husband. So, and there's a big picture of, like, Naomi printed in, like, this Washington paper. And so, like, Naomi goes to school and everybody now knows that she's the daughter of a serial killer.
Aww.
Yeah, yeah. So basically they're
anonymity
is shattered again.
I'll take ways to traumatize your children for 500 Alex.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, and it's like, and she wants the money because she's like, I don't want to live with Seth and Harry anymore. Y'all are homosexuals. And it's like, these are the nicest people. Her brother is the nicest person trying to take care of his sister.
But her children might catch the gay, Margie.
They might catch the gay.
Oh, no.
Right. So, Jesus. So the family, Naomi's mother, the uncles, and Mason move again, this time to New York. And unfortunately, things don't go well.
Wow, yeah, this just doesn't end, huh?
No, it does not. Have you spotted the plot yet?
Oh, do they live in all 50 states?
They do not.
Oh, dang it. I was really hoping this was a coming-of-age, finding-yourself-as-you-travel-across-country kind of novel.
Yeah.
Well, there is a part that is a little bit like that.
Oh, good.
So, unfortunately, Naomi's mother continues to see her husband, the serial killer, even in prison. Eventually, he does a Ted Bundy, and he finds himself another girlfriend, and Naomi's mother overdoses. So this, there's some suicide.
Holy shit!
Naomi's mother is the one who finds her with a friend of hers, Anson.
Wait, so Naomi finds her mom?
Naomi finds her mom. She comes home from school at the end of the day, like, to come and... So she's becoming a photographer. She came home, I think, with Anson to get, like, a camera or something like that, or a flash, and she notices that there's the puppy outside the door, her brother's puppy, is, like, crying at her mom's door. And she's like, that's weird. Mom's usually, like, up and doing things. So she opens the door, and her mom's dead.
Didn't know this was going to turn into Double Jeopardy for traumatization, but cool.
Yeah, it's great.
Jesus. Right.
So at her mom's funeral, this guy Anson comes up to her and says, look, I figured out who you are. I know that you're Bose's daughter. And if you give me an exclusive interview about what happened that night, then I basically won't blackmail you with it and tell the whole school, hey, you're the serial killer's daughter.
What is happening? What is happening?
Imagine doing that to someone at their mother's funeral. That's at her mom's funeral. And this guy also was there when the mom died. He was the one who found her with Naomi.
Hey, Nora, slow your roll, dude. This is going way too hard, way too fast.
Right. So, another quote-unquote friend of hers tries to grab her ass during a hug at the funeral.
What? Worst funeral ever. Oh my
god. I would
Does
say
this come up again, or is this just yes. like a one? Oh my gosh, no.
Say, is actually... that the plot?
We're getting there.
Oh, getting closer.
I gotta say, this is in my like bottom three for worst funerals.
Okay, so our girl is smart, and she actually arranges an interview with a local New York journalist who writes a story on her, but it's on her and on the perspective of what happened that night when Naomi found Ashley, but it's told the way that Naomi wants it to be told, so she kind of grabs the power.
She's like,
and it's
fine,
a very small
you,
article,
then...
yeah, and so yeah. she already runs it. She and
How
so
old is she at this point?
She's like 16, 17.
Oh, okay.
She's young. She's a baby.
Yeah.
So, and Naomi also has befriended a local cop in the bedlam of all this happening. And and Naomi has this cop basically knock on Anson's door and say, don't try any funny business or the NYPD will be on your ass. Like, you come up to her again, you do anything like that again, we'll kick your ass. So.
That's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kosher.
Yeah.
It's fine. Sure.
Okay, so we fast forward to present day.
How many chapters was that?
Yeah. A lot.
That was my question. That felt like half the book already.
Yeah.
It's not! It's not! That's only the beginning! Oh. And it's important! It's all important!
Yeah.
Okay. So we fast forward to...
I feel like I need a nap. Maybe some Gatorade and some orange slices after that so I can get back into it.
Like field day.
Jesus. All right.
So we fast forward to present day. Naomi is now a traveling photographer. Her brother Mason is an FBI agent who works high-profile serial killer cases, and he actually still talks to their dad, which is, I think, is just super interesting, just to get his perspective on it. I don't know what the relationship is like, but
that
just interesting.
Sounds like an interesting crime novel.
Right.
I want to read that book.
So Naomi's uncles live in New York and adore the fuck out of their children, so Mason and Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
I already mentioned the spot the plot game. Naomi,
this is where it really begins.
At the beginning of the book, well, at present day, I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
Naomi has made a under the Tuscan sun move and bought a really, really old but beautiful house on the edge of the water in Washington State. It's this really big, old, beautiful house in this tiny little town, and she just absolutely falls in love with it. And this girl's pretty much living my dream right now, I gotta say. Like, I would love the fuck out of that.
Yeah, I could be a really great witchy hermit in that house.
Right?
And that sounds awesome.
So she takes a picture of and texts it to her uncle and her brother, her uncles and her brother, and is like, this is why. This is why I moved out here. And it's like this vista of the water right outside her porch. Ugh. Beautiful.
Yeah, I could do that.
So she hires a local
GC. In fact,
bye
everyone.
So she
Peace
hires,
him out.
She hires a local GC to do the work on the house, and immediately they become friends. His name is Kevin Banner, and he is adorable. Oh my god, I love him.
I thought you were going to say Kevin Bacon.
I know.
And I was hoping you would. Surprise Footloose.
I've actually never seen that
and
movie.
And they live in a town where no one can dance.
Oh, that's the plot. Okay.
There it is.
He's so excited to get the opportunity to work on this house. And when Naomi explains what she wants, he's like, if I wasn't already completely over the moon for my wife, I would kiss you on the mouth.
Interesting.
That's an interaction to have with a relative stranger.
Hello, stranger, who I'm going to employ you.
They're kind of friends at this point. And they're it's just friendly banter.
So,
it's actually really cute.
I will say, having read a lot of Nora Roberts books, she does really like the, like, flirty friendships, if that makes sense.
Oh,
so a lot of the times, like... So she does a lot of books where it's, like, a trilogy, and it's a different couple, like, that are to get thrown into something. And they're all, like, you know, each book is for each couple. And a lot of times, like, those friendships are, like, flirty friendships. And it's not, like, weird, because, I mean, sure, I'll talk about pretty much anything with my friends. It doesn't necessarily matter. But I've never had the desire to kiss a friend on the mouth.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does eventually kiss her on the mouth. When she signs the contract and his wife is in the room, he's just like, thank you.
Yeah, flirty friendships. Flirty
is
friendships.
It just easier to write the dialogue when it's flirty banter?
Maybe.
Like, is that like her default for writing?
Maybe. I don't know. So, all right.
There's like a lot of it.
Naomi
like a lot.
signs a contract for the work to be done in the house and heads into town to get some much needed household essentials and some pizza. Unfortunately,
household essentials.
Unfortunately, she gets into a very minor accident where she ends up with a flat tire. That's when we meet our boy
Xander. Is he an R boy?
He is an R boy. He's such an R boy. Good. Yes. Xander Keaton. He's actually a local mechanic in town, and for the cost of one slice of pizza, he fixes her tire with a spare. And he also flirts
with
her.
He changes her tire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he changes her tire.
Hey, ladies, everyone should know how to change their own tire.
Yes.
You can do it.
You don't need a man to change a tire for you.
And she's very guarded, just because her past and all that.
I mean,
sure. Very guarded.
Girl has got some baggage.
Girl's got some baggage.
Understandable baggage.
And he's just very stubbornly nice. Like, Naomi, he's sort of like a dog who has just decided to be friends with you when you're still really not sure yet. You know what I mean? Oh. Like, a really big dog who's like, come on, let's play. And you're like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, just back up, chill.
Just give me 5 minutes.
Yeah, right. Please don't
eat
me.
So, Xander actually comes by Naomi's house the next day with, like, a new tire, a real tire. You know? I don't know how tires and cars work.
Okay. First off, usually if you get a flat, if your tires are old enough, you want to replace all of them so they wear at the same rate.
Yeah.
So you don't end up with Zach's old car where there was one bald tire. I'm still pissed about that. I love you, Zach. But, two, I'm just imagining, and I find it adorable, instead of a dude, like, standing at your, or anybody, I guess, standing at your front door with flowers, he's just holding a tire.
That's adorable.
I got you this tire.
At least she actually needs the tire.
It's true.
So Xander comes by with the tire, and then he's like, she does actually have to pay him. He doesn't just take a slice of pizza.
Oh, okay.
So he goes up to see her on the second floor and sees her dancing to Taylor Swift. And
is not as old as I thought it was.
It is not. No, I was very surprised too. She loses balance when he says hello out of surprise.
Does he catch her?
He does. He catches her. And it's just very meat cute. Like, it's just adorable.
T Swift is the perfect background.
Yeah, and she's singing Shake It Out. Shake It Off.
This is way newer than I thought it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
So they're definitely attracted to one another, but Naomi is like, don't want to catch feelings. Let's just keep this casual, platonic, whatever. She and Kevin, her general contractor, become closer friends as he works on her house. And he invites her out with his wife to a local bar. And of course, our boy Xander is playing that night in the band.
Oh,
he's a music boy.
He's a music boy. He's singing Springsteen while that voice wringing every drop of sex out of the words.
All right, I love some Springsteen. Mm-hmm. But
our boy later comes over to them, says hi very casually, but inside he's like, man, oh man, I love the leggy blonde who bought the creepy house that looks like the Overlook Lodge.
Oh man. I gotta say, and she's really leaning into that serial killer vibe that's in her family, huh? Like, you know what? In order to escape my past, I think I'm going to buy a dilapidated house slightly outside of the town, near the woods, by myself. And that sounds like a great idea.
Red rum.
Fine. It's cool.
So Naomi is coming back from making a run into the village again the next day. And when she spots a very sad looking dog on the side of the road. And so she pulls over and it just immediately walks over to her really pathetic like. Luckily, a motorcycle driver stops. Three guesses who also happens to ride that motorcycle. I'm already so into this boy.
Yeah.
I love boys who ride a motorcycle.
I would just like to, like, oh, God, shit. I had something in my head.
Is there
a dog thing.
Was there, like, a wall of, like, traits and, like, she just threw, like...
Yeah, that's...
darts at it? Band. Motorcycle. Mechanic.
Car mechanic. Yep.
Got it.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, I mean, that is, like, I will say, again, for Nora, he's not rich.
Oh.
Which is a good deviation from the norm.
Oh,
he
really?
Has a real human job.
Yes, he does have a real human job. Basically, Xander is like, chin up, buttercup, let's take care of this dog. He gets, because she's kind of like, oh, I don't want to deal with it. And he's like, no, you can't, come on, put it in your car. He gets the poor smelly creature into her car and then meets her at her house where the dog gets a bath and a cozy bed. Pretty much our boy is like, congratulations, I think you have a dog now.
Congratulations, I adopted you a dog.
Yeah, our girl is like, I've met you three times. No. But she invites our boy in for a beer before he heads back into downtown, and he offers to split the vet bill for the dog. He's like, I'll ask around town, see if anybody's missing their dog. And we'll try to find him the owner. And deep inside, he's like, there's no way that this dog has an owner. The town is too small. We would have already heard about somebody missing their
right.
dog.
So this is where the plot is, right? It becomes a heartwarming animal themed.
No.
Oh, shit.
No.
Yeah.
Nope,
damn
nope,
it.
Nope.
Oh, no.
I was really hoping she was going to open up her own little vet clinic. Dog rescue.
So he... Yes.
That sounds great, actually.
With the, you know, washing the dog. They give the dog a bath together and kind of get the dog situated and comfortable in the house. And they are flirting hardcore.
Steamy right? kiss?
Steamy kiss.
Oh, I know my way around a Robert's book.
He finds her, Xander finds her fascinating. He's just and really wants to get to know her / talk to her, despite her being a little guarded. And he swoops in for a kiss, like, right before he leaves. And she's into it, but there's this, flirty agreement of, okay, we don't know where this is headed, but due to the dog situation, we know we're gonna have to talk to one another again anyway, so like, let's just see how this goes, right?
Again, Nora Roberts stable. Yeah. Flirty so kiss.
Flirty
someone's
kiss.
Usually surprised, but they're
yes.
both really into it.
Yes, that's, and wow, Rachel, you got this.
I have read so many. I know the tropes. I can almost tell you, just like every single of those trilogy things, the way it works is there's the innocent one, mm-hmm. the spunky one,
mm-hmm.
and the responsible one. I know it all.
Morgan's Cross.
Yep. It falls. Hey, if you got a formula that works, get your money's worth out of it.
So, like,
just makes
Naomi...
so many metaphors.
Naomi comes by, like, I don't know, a day or two later to get the half of the vet bill. And she's like, what am I going to do with this dog? I don't know what to do. And he's like, Xander's like, what you're doing? You should keep him? Like... You have a dog now. Sorry.
I have an important question for Google. When was Venmo created?
I think he does use...
PayPal or something?
She wanted to go and see him.
Okay,
come on. Yeah.
I was like, she doesn't... This
it's
is...
An
we've established
well, it's
this
an
is
an
in...
It's an excuse. And he goes back to her house to bring, like, milk bones and a dog bowl and a dog bed. And so, yeah.
There are... So many things happening right now
it's very,
in this book.
I'm sorry.
Like, well, I feel like it's a choose-your-own-adventure. It's like, okay, what do you want the plot to be?
Yeah,
do you
well,
want it
that's
to be...
the thing. You guys gotta spot the plot.
I know, we're not
we
there yet.
We haven't gotten there yet.
No, but I feel like it could go anywhere.
Okay, I'm trying to, like...
I do really like
Does
right
the
now.
Does the dog play a role in the plot
yes.
later?
Have to assume.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know if he was just brought in, so... They would get to know each other better.
Yeah, so...
No, the plot... The dog comes into the plot later.
Okay.
Here's me flaunting my near encyclopedic knowledge of Nora Roberts. There are two other books that involve dogs that I'm thinking of, one of which is called The Search, which legitimately is really good and is about a woman who trains dogs for search and rescue. And the other one... is my one of my favorite romance novels of all time, called Shelter in Place, and it has...
I've heard about that one.
It's so good. And it has almost the exact same, like... It doesn't bring them together, but he just finds a dog, and it's him like, I don't want this dog. Maybe someone else will take it. Okay, it's my dog now. Like, it's that exact
yes,
same thing!
Yes, that's exactly what it is! Okay.
Yes.
So, while he's over with the milk bones, the leash, whatever, dog things, she... Our girl actually receives a present from her uncles, shipped to her specially. They are very wealthy. A large...
There's the rich. I was waiting for
there's
it.
The rich. To be wealthy.
Yep.
A large king-size bed, along with the sweetest note ever from the said uncles that reads, "Our girl needs a bed and one that gives her sweet dreams. We love you, Seth and Harry."
I...
Aww. They're so precious.
That's really cute. I was really hoping it was going to be like something like, "Hey, do you have a boyfriend yet?" Here. For
that
fucking.
Comes up later.
Oh, good.
So our boy actually sets up the bed. She invites him to stay over for
dinner.
Yeah,
he does.
He watches her cook and keeps her company. And she makes it clear that although she's attracted to him and may even be romantically interested in him, she's not going to sleep with him. She keeps saying, "Want to know why I'm not going to sleep with you?" And then he ends it with, "Yet."
God damn it.
He's very blunt and bold, which honestly is turn on for me, but I can see how it would be kind of overbearing.
I feel like the whole, like, he helps her set up the bed thing sounds so much like, "Did somebody order a pizza?" Like, I heard you needed a pipe fixed. Kind of deal. Like, yes. It's just like a...
Yes. I don't know. I think that's a very long foreplay. Oh. Oh, yes. These screws.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. There's not enough. Wait a second. I don't understand these instructions. Oh, man. I put it together upside down.
Where's the flinging?
Oh my god. Okay. I somehow misplaced the Allen wrench.
Oh, baby.
She doesn't want to complicate this so far tenuous relationship she's built in the village by sleeping with our boy. She's already become friends with Kevin, the GC, and his wife and So the GC and Xander are best friends. So she
GC
doesn't
is
want
general
to-
contractor, yes?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Cool.
And, she doesn't want to muddy those waters, despite said friends even being like, "Bone him! All right? Like, y'all are cute together.
Just fucking get it over with."
And Xander is working really hard, which I just want to make a note of, making her feel welcome in the neighborhood. Like, he's inviting her out, like, he's help introducing her to people. It's just really nice and cute. Naomi has fought against keeping the dog, but then one day Xander comes over for whatever reason and he spots Naomi putting pants on the dog.
I would totally do that.
So
to my animal.
Like, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "What the fuck do you think I'm doing? I'm trying to put pants on this dog," because he got in the cone of shame because he got his ball snipped off. And so he wouldn't keep the cone of shame on. So she has to put pants on him. And so he's like, he goes up to her, he's like, "So, what's the dog's name?" And she's like, "Tag." And he's like, "Tag?" And it's because the dog always tags along wherever she goes.
Aw.
Yeah,
really that's cute. A cute dog name.
It's just like, I love like her reluctance to be like, "Damn it, I guess I do."
Putting pants on the dog.
Putting pants on a dog means you own the dog.
That is a requirement.
Yeah, right.
That's part of like when you go to like Humane Society or something to like pick out an animal, they actually just let you loose in a room full of dogs. And the first one you can grab and put pants on is the one you're allowed to take home. 100%.
Okay, you prove that you can handle.
It's a
dog.
Lot harder with cats too, honestly.
And this dog is very cute. He's so friendly with everybody. He's a really good dog. He's terrified of other small dogs, like tiny dogs. He's terrified of other small dogs. And she's like, "You are useless. What kind of guard dog are you?"
This dog is my favorite character so far in this book.
He's so good.
He's the best. The best boy. The goodest boy.
In between of she goes and is making more friends that happen to be mutual friends with Xander, and so they're hanging out. It's a small town.
Nora very much glorifies small towns.
Yeah, and so he finally gets her to come over for a date to his place. He orders takeaway, and they eat dinner together, and it's lovely, and they have wine. And he's thinking, like, all right, this is gonna end up real well. And his house, so his apartment is great because it's covered in books. He loves to read, so he spends a lot of time reading. And so she's looking at the shelves.
Thunk! Bookworm.
Yeah. There you go.
There's another one.
Yep, throwing those darts.
So she's looking at the books, like, you know, sipping her wine, and then she freezes looking at one book. The book is titled Blood in the Ground, The Legacy of Thomas David Bowes. So she's like, she kind of freezes up and she doesn't mention anything about the book, but she makes an excuse and makes a quick exit. She's like, I gotta go. And he's like, what happened? Because she immediately paled, like did not look well. And Xander goes over the wall and she was looking at and is like, okay, what spooked her? What happened? And he actually pulls the book out because he's like, well, this is the only nonfiction book that's in the section. It doesn't seem like she was kind of looking at it. And so he kind of flips through it because he remembered reading it. And then he sees Naomi Bowes. And he's like, fuck.
God damn it.
And it doesn't make a difference to him. He continues on as he did before with Naomi, like, trying to pursue her. He doesn't tell anybody in town anything like that. So it's just, it's sweet.
I mean, that's, like, a really nice, good, decent human being thing to do is...
Right.
I've discovered a dark secret about your past that you'd like to escape, and I'm not going to tell anyone about it.
And I'm also
because
not
I respect you as a human.
Yeah. So it's just
really
nice.
Sad that yeah. that's such a low bar for a romance novel, because...
It's a low bar, but it's still really sweet and...
Oh, no, it's adorable. Yeah. It's just, like... If this were any other romance novel, I would have expected him to be like, hey, did you know? Like, some shit like that, because, yeah.
Some blackmail. She sees yep. Xander. Yep.
I've already seen that once in this book.
Yep. She sees Xander again at the bar where he's playing music and they're, like, hanging out with their mutual friends. And another woman sees how Xander's looking at Naomi. Does not like it. She has had a crush on Xander for a very long time.
How dare you like the same person that I like,
right.
but I've never told you
and
that I like.
Marla is kind of like, she's kind of stuck up bitch. Like, she's just not a great person around town. She, yeah. So she actually kind of gets into a confrontation on the dance floor with Naomi. And Naomi has
dance battle! Please, oh God!
No, not a dance battle.
Damn
well,
it.
So she kind of pushes, I think that she, like, pushes Naomi. And Naomi is a brown belt. So she just kind of, like,
nope,
immediately, like, turn off, like, flicks a switch and says, like, nope, you're not going to touch me again. Get out of my face. And Marla leaves the bar. And that does become important later.
Okay.
A little bit of spot the plot. A little bit of spot the plot.
Oh, I was going to say, this is...
Marla steals the dog.
No.
Marla somehow finds out that she's the daughter of a serial killer.
No.
Okay.
So Xander finishes his set, and him and Naomi talk. And Naomi gives him more of the same response of, I really like you, but I'm not sure pursuing a relationship is the best idea. And Xander tells her, I'm going to drive by your place tonight. If the light is on, then I'll knock on the door. She leaves the light on. And
she's in Motel 6!
And,
oh, man, now he is Tom Baudet.
And she leaves the light on, and they get it on. Like,
she'll leave the light on for you. Sorry. I'm really proud of that.
And so she, like, she's like, this is just sex. That's how I'm going to treat it. And he's like, you want to do that? That's fine. But just FYI, I think you're really damn special and I like you. And he actually helps her, like, the next morning with her yard work. It, like, just sticks around.
I mean... Fair. Like, that's actually, like, a nice benefit. It's like, sure, I could feed you breakfast and leave, but now you can work for it.
Well, and so, and later on, she takes pictures of his band. So she...
I thought you were gonna say but.
No.
No.
But she probably
did
later.
Kind of sounded like. I mean...
She takes these really, really good pictures of
the
band.
Plot.
Yeah.
Yeah, still looking for the plot. Well.
Ooh.
Oh! Is it time?
It's almost time.
Almost time.
So before they...
I thought we were playing a game, though. We don't get hints.
Should
oh,
we
sorry.
Have final guesses?
Sure.
What do you think?
Marla is the real killer.
Oh, I like that.
So actually, the sheriff comes up to...
Wait, I want to guess, too.
Okay.
She has her own murder cellar in the woods behind her house, and the serial killer was inside of her the whole time.
She just had to believe.
She just had to believe.
Okay, so later in the afternoon, before they leave, before they leave Xander's band, after they're taking pictures, the sheriff shows up.
The Zand, if you will.
The Zand. Marla, to tell them Marla has gone missing, and they haven't, nobody's seen Marla since she angrily walked out of the bar the other night after pushing Naomi. So he was just like, have you heard from her? Have you seen her since then? And both of them are like, no, she just stormed out by herself.
Does she get kidnapped?
So... Both Xander and Naomi try to put Marla out of their minds because Xander says that this sort of behavior isn't really out of character for Marla. She tends to just kind of, like, stomp off and then come back, and she's kind of a drama queen. So,
this is why it's a small town, because everybody has to know each other.
Yeah, that's fair.
They have to be up in each other's business, and it has to be very noticeable that someone's missing. There's only 20 people here, and one of us is gone.
Who resorted to cannibalism first?
It's like morning check.
Knocking on the doors.
So our boy and our girl are basically undefined dating, right? He's staying over. He's leaving clothes at her place. But it's really cute because when Naomi has nightmares, he comforts her in her sleep and holds her. It's just really cute.
Aww. Has he told her at any point that he knows who she is?
No.
Oh.
He's letting her. He wants her to tell him. He doesn't want to.
All right.
Yeah.
I
have a note and I want to read it for you guys. Oh my God. Now, through all of this setup, you may be wondering, Rachel and Savannah, where the fuck is the plot? Margie, did you leave it in the Labyrinth or in Narnia or in the Spider-Verse? Margie, where is the goddamn plot? Well, I will tell you, Rachel, it is unfortunately a dead body not far from Naomi's house.
And it's what's her name?
Our girl walks out of her house with Tag and finds Marla, the woman who had been pissed off at Naomi, naked and bound in her backyard.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's on
and
a trail.
And we're back to High Octane.
Yeah. So it's on, like, a trail that's a little bit past her house. So,
Okay. So this is how I'm picturing this plot in, well... attempt in my mind. It's a we're on a roller coaster. Ready? Mm-hmm. So at first we're like tick 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 tick. Whee! Going downhill, super exciting, lots of loop-de-loops, like going nuts, and then we're just like, okay, here.
Yes, she has a normal life. That's so nice.
And then surprise twist.
Yes.
Great. Good.
Naomi calls the police and then immediately calls Xander. And all she needs to say is his name on the phone. And he's like, oh, God, I'm on my motorcycle. What's wrong? What happened? And she's like, please just get over here. And
this is not the first dead body I found.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's the third.
So Xander takes Naomi away from the crime scene and really just gives her what she needs, which is just logic. She feels partly responsible because Marla had left the bar because of her and had left the bar alone. And Xander's like, the person who was responsible is the person who murdered her. End of story. Like, we're not playing this pity party game. And I'm not playing this pity party game for you. And she's like, that's actually exactly what I needed. Thank you.
I like him.
I like him too.
Support.
I like
logic.
Yeah, I like no bullshit kind of like, mm-hmm. Hey, you're being an idiot. Get your shit together.
Well, and
thank
he
you.
Also,
I needed that.
He also just says, he's like, what you need right now, whatever it is, let's do. Like, let's just do that thing together. Yeah. And so they paint a wall, like in her house. Like, they just work on stuff that
physical
they were going to do
labor.
Anyway. Okay. Yeah. And that night, she wakes up.
He's a cinnamon roll.
Just wait. She wakes up from a nightmare and he talks her down from a panic attack, gets up with her even when she's like, you don't need to get up, it's fine. It's like 3 a.m. And he's like, nope, let's make some eggs, let's have breakfast, let's have coffee, we'll sit outside. Like, he's just really trying to incorporate herself into what she needs.
Hmm.
I like it.
I like him a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot of good support right
there. He also volunteers to stay with her at the behest of the police chief to keep her safe, because...
just fair.
Yeah, she did safety find in a, numbers.
Found someone dead outside her house. So it's kind of...
And it kind of like... So, I feel like, and to be fair, I'm not the child of a serial killer. And I've never
as
been in this...
You know.
Well, fair. And I've never been in this particular situation, but, obviously. Yeah. But, if you are the daughter of a serial killer... and a random dead body shows up in your backyard, I feel like that would be something to mention to the sheriff of, hey, just so you know, just in case, this is a thing.
Right.
Also, is her dad still in prison?
Yes, her dad is still in prison.
Okay.
Has been in prison this entire
time. Okay. Wait. My guess is either dude that tried to blackmail her or dude that grabbed her butt.
We'll see.
Those are my guesses.
Oh, all right. A few days later, not very long, the chief of police, Sam, who's actually a really nice guy, comes up to her and says, look, I haven't told anyone else and I won't, but I had to do some investigative work and I do know who your father is. Like, I'm not going to change it. Nothing changes. I don't suspect you,
mm-hmm.
but like, I have to ask you if you think that this has anything to do with that. And she's like, no.
There it is.
I really don't. Like, I don't know. I have no idea. And he also says, listen, Xander's a really nice guy. And I think that if you're going to stay with him, you owe him, like, just honesty. So if this is bothering you, you need to tell him. And that doesn't go over that well with Naomi. It just comes at a sort of bad emotional moment for her because she's at home And Kevin, her GC, tells her, oh, actually, I'm not going to leave yet because I want Xander to arrive. He asked me to stay until he got here so that we, you know, someone's always hovering around her. And so she sends him home. She's like, get the fuck out of here. And Xander comes in and he can tell that she's like all wound up. Mm. And he's like, oh, geez. And she's like already a couple of glasses of wine in. And she's like, starts yelling. She's like, listen, you're crowding me. I don't need people to hover around me. I've taken care of myself for years, all of these things. And she says she feels like she's being crowded and she's done and she doesn't want to. He's like, this isn't, but none of this stuff is, she just doesn't understand. She's like, suddenly I have a dog, suddenly I have a house, suddenly I have a boyfriend, it like suddenly I have all of these things
built up.
It all built up. And I've been independent for so long. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, okay, listen, here's the thing though. You like having all of those things. Don't pretend that you don't. You like this life that you have built for yourself here. So I don't really understand why you're trying to get rid of me or fight that. And he has this attitude of he sees that she is trying to pick a fight with him and he's just not having it. He's like, listen, I am not going to fight with you on this. You would not have, you made these decisions for yourself and you made them because they made you happy. Like, so why don't you tell me what's really bothering you? And so she won't do it. And he's like, fine, I know, okay? I know your dad is a serial killer. I know. So let's just move beyond that, okay? Like, and she's like, you know? And he's like, I know. I've known this whole time, and I don't care. And
the knowledge was inside of him the whole time.
And so he ends up saying, understand this then. It's insulting and annoying. Remember that. For you to think that I'd feel differently about you because your father's Thomas David Bowes. That I'd act differently because 17 years ago you saved a life. No doubt saved a lot of lives. And if this whole fucked up bullshit is the reason you're trying to kick me to the curb, you're out of luck. I don't kick that easily.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's like a neat, like, gung-ho speech. But at the same time, part of me is like, she's obviously overwhelmed. And she might need some time to chill and figure shit out on her own.
Well, so if you remember earlier in the book, there was that moment of when she was feeling really starting to be like, oh, it's my fault that Marla died. He's very like, no.
He is very no. like, no.
And she needs that. And she mentions that at that moment, like, no, actually, I really needed that wake-up call, that reality check. Mm-hmm. So it's, and he also says something awesome along the lines of, look, my dad doesn't know the first thing about cars or being in a band or anything like that. We are completely different people, and it's the same with your dad. Like, you are completely different human being.
You are not your parents.
Yeah, you're not your parent. Like, you're not. And he's like, so your brother, Mason, like, do you think that he's a bad person? Because his father is, you know, you guys share the same parent. And she's like, well, no, he's wonderful and I love him and he's so smart. And he's like, then why can't you think the same thing for you? That you deserve good things.
Bitch, get your self-confidence in order.
Yeah. So, okay. Life goes on for them. Unfortunately, another woman in the village goes missing.
Rut-row. Now,
Rut-row.
Now
there's
like 18 people.
And then there were 18.
There were only 18 people left.
Oh, no.
Didn't show up for morning check-in. So, roll call.
I just imagine the sheriff or whatever walking into the middle of a street, like the town, and just yelling, roll call, and then a bunch of windows open. Here, all the way around.
Well, so, and I really want to make one more note about that fight that they have, is that I love how in this conversation, it's just like a really good example of how in relationships, arguments don't have to be destructive, they can be really constructive. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can get mad at each other, but, like, you can come out of it stronger. And that's what happens.
Communication is honestly so important in a relationship.
Okay.
Talk about your feelings.
Talk about your shit. Because people can't read your mind about your shit.
And so the morning after they realize all of this, and they've had sex, obviously.
Well, you have to have sex on it. It's the same as thinking on it, but you have sex on it.
So there's... Yeah.
I don't know. I really... I don't know what I want. I think I really need to have sex on it.
So the next morning, there's a knock at the door, and Xander opens the door, and it's a dude. And he's like, who are you? And the dude is like, who are you? And so he's like... And Xander's like... Oh, okay. You're the brother. You're the FBI agent. I'd appreciate it if you took your hand off your took your hand off your weapon. And then Mason's like, "Ah, you're the mechanic. Okay. You stay here for coffee often in the morning? So it's kind of like a sizing each other up kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, ritualistic dick waving contest.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You're fucking my sister? Exactly. So, and he shows up and Naomi's like, what are you doing here? Like, I'm so happy to see you. Like, you didn't tell me you were coming into town.
This yeah, it's because there's a serial killer here.
Yeah. So he is like, yeah, I just came in to, like, to pop by. And then he's like, actually, I'm not just popping by. I'm here to check with the sheriff because I heard that there was a serial killer here. And I just, you know, you're my sister. Like, I thought that I'd check in this case myself.
And you just seem to attract this kind of bullshit.
Just wait.
Oh, God damn it! I fully believe, and let me know if our spot the plot means I'm wrong, that this is totally related to her. Specifically to her. And I really think it's one of the dudes from the funeral.
So
I think I win spot the plot.
So, I might have won.
Hell yeah.
So,
for Robert's knowledge, you haven't failed me.
All right, so this is where the notes end.
Oh, Jesus, Margie, you did it again!
There's not that much left. There's actually not that much left. So the brother starts working with the sheriff to try to figure out what the heck is going on in this town. They do find the other woman, unfortunately. She is also dead. And it's, like, D-E-D. Pretty... So the brother notices, he's like, huh, this is weird. Like, these are... The women don't look like Naomi, but where they're left is places where Naomi has taken professional shots and uploaded them to her website. So, like, the first woman, Marla, was found, like, off of a trail near her house, but she's found, like, on next to or near a log that Naomi had taken this really beautiful nature shot of. And so Mason starts kind of, like, piecing all of this together, and he's like, this is really strange.
That's a little Da Vinci Code, though.
It is a little.
Like, I know it's Mason's job to do that, but it's like, okay, but if we look at this through mirror backwards underwater, then we can find out.
So then he sits Naomi down at one point, and he's like, okay, so I have some extra bad news for you. And she's like, shit, what? And he's like, I think that you actually have a serial killer stalker. So everywhere that she has moved over the past, like, 10 years, a woman has been found murdered, like... in the vicinity around her of where she's taken pictures.
And she hasn't known until now?
She hasn't noticed! So, like, one time it happened on campus, like, when she was at school, a woman got murdered, and, like, it's...
How many chapters are left in this book?
Not many.
How many dead bodies, how many people die over 10 years as you move around the country and you don't notice? A lot.
Well, and I will say
okay,
this.
But Margie, how many aren't your fault?
How many places where you've lived you've been like, oh yes, there was a woman. She was murdered, like, three doors down.
Well,
oh,
so
wait,
I think,
it's a year later. Somebody else has been murdered.
I think she's been surrounded by this her whole life, let's face it. Like, since from a very young age, she's been exposed to death and carnage, all of that. So it may not be that weird to her. It's usually people she doesn't really know that well. It's kind of, like, peripheral. Like, oh yeah, that's weird, that happened. It's, this serial killer does not follow the standard serial killer thing of killing someone in the same way every time. He kills them depending on where they are. Like, one night, like, she lived in New York, and there was a prostitute that he killed in Central Park, which is, like, just wasn't in... They didn't connect it. They couldn't connect all the dots because they all look so different. All the murders look so different.
Still, how do you connect...
How do you connect the dots now?
I don't know.
How did they figure that out? There's nothing that connects.
They looked at it upside down, backwards, underwater.
Yeah, exactly.
And found out
and then they found
that
the
Jesus fucked.
If she's lived in big enough
city, right? I haven't finished it.
If she lives in big enough cities all this time, they could have just picked any murder. It's been like, yes, there's been a murder everywhere you lived because you've lived in the most five most populous cities in America.
Weirdly enough, we also figured out that the Illuminati. Just so many connections.
Just stumbled upon it.
So they do, and they
I feel like I've been
hit.
What?
There is one thing that is weird about all that connects them all. That all the women look a little bit like Naomi. So, like, they have blonde hair. They're tall and slender. Like, Okay. Yeah, very loosely look like the Naomi.
Can you imagine being that serial killer and be like, oh, I know she's going to notice this time. And just not for 10 years?
So I was really annoyed because I was like, I was convinced that it was her dad and I kept waiting for like them to say, oh, her dad's like escaped out of prison. And I was like, when is that going to happen?
I feel like I've been hit by a plot truck. Because it's like, okay, I'm expecting like, okay, local serial killer or something like this, found out who she was, whatever, and it's, surprise, 10 years ago!
Yeah.
What?
Well, so, how? So this is happening, but at the same time, there's all this very normal things happening, in a way, you know? Like, life goes on. They,
you're right.
They can't really stop what they were doing before, mm-hmm. because, so it's kind of this weird juxtaposition, because their relationship is just progressing as usual, almost, despite the fact that there's a serial killer.
And also,
killer.
People are murdering.
Is it, like, inside a chapter, it's just like, oh, we took the puppy to the park today, and then there's, like, a little, like, line, and then it's like, and then we found another body. Like, it just, like, changes POV straight to the brother, and the brother's like, this is all horrified, and it goes back to her, and it's like, and it was such a sunny picnic.
It isn't like, well, so like, I guess what I mean is that like the house is still there. She's still describing like the work being done to the house and things like that. I'm like, there are people being murdered. Like, so, okay. And two more scenes.
Okay.
More scenes. We're so close. Okay. I swear to God. So one little scene is that some of the, there are segments that are written in the perspective of the serial killer. And one of them
when
is.
When does it change to that?
What?
When does it change to
it
that?
It goes, like, in little,
yeah, but yeah, like,
POVs.
Normal book, normal book, normal book, normal book, yeah. Serial killer.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, you see, you hear, they just, they.
How many books is this? You know, I feel like the first half is a book. This
you know,
is a new book.
You know the, like, the.
Is this really a trilogy?
No. You know that story arc chart? I really feel like this one was just done.
So they the serial killer like describes killing Marla and killing the other woman. Like it's very yeah, and that's where the sexual assault comes in.
Romantic.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh great.
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
Jesus awesome. Christ.
So then so one day they have this change of perspective to the serial killer, and he goes up to Naomi's house during the day and he's checking it out. He's seeing how he can break in. Tag, the dog, just loses his mind, just like growling and snarling, like spit coming out of his mouth.
Best
like,
boy!
Yeah, just like barking,
Margie,
barking, barking.
I swear to God, if this dog dies, I will hit you.
Nothing happens to this dog, right?
So,
you would have warned us in the beginning, correct?
So.
That would have been a disclaimer, right?
If you rip my heart out, I don't think we can be a throuple anymore.
Okay, so one day, Xander gets
answer.
A call. Xander gets a call to go and help out a guy with his truck. Mm-hmm. So he goes, and the guy's like, oh yeah, sorry, my kid's in the back of the car, all this stuff happening. He gets whacked in the back of the head by this guy, and...
Yeah, it was a trap.
Yeah.
It was a trap.
It was a trap.
And so then serial killer goes to Naomi's house. I think, I don't remember. Oh, the door's open because she was expecting Xander, which is stupid. Don't do that. She was expecting Xander and she turns around and
it's... Is it the husband? No. I still think one of the dudes from the funeral.
Who is at the funeral again?
There was the butt grabber and the blackmailer. Although it could also be
the blackmailer.
Her general contractor, but he would have already known how to get into the house.
Mm. No, it's got to be somebody from that funeral.
All right, you say butt grabber, I'll say...
And then one of us has to be right.
Yeah, and I'll say...
Okay, great.
Blackmailer.
Butt grabber.
Blackmail guy.
It's Anson the blackmailer.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. More sense. Does the butt grabber come back?
The butt grabber never comes back.
Okay.
That's just a small detail that,
was just
that I
a
gave
small
you guys.
Detail.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because to show how shitty her life had gotten at that
point.
Oh,
great. Because that's how you add to that.
Right.
Her mom has just died.
Her mom died. Her life is terrible and meep meep.
Hide that on top.
Thanks for the like
the squeezy motions.
No, the
Roadrunner.
Like, I thought the Sesame Street character, the Mr. Beaker or whatever.
Oh. Meep, meep. Oh. Meep, meep. Meep, meep. No, I was thinking like Roadrunner.
maybe.
So, okay. We're almost done, guys. I swear to God. Gosh.
Roll it down.
So she's like, she sees him and she's like, Anson? Like, did not hardly remember the guy. And he's like, yeah, that day that we saw your mom dead on the bed, it awoke something inside of me.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God, we haven't gotten to the torture trigger either, but that's coming in.
That was when we got into the... Oh, okay. I just did that so if readers decide to read it, they'll know going in stuff happening. He's like, it woke something inside of me, and then I became, like, basically worshipped your dad and wanted to become a serial killer just like him. And so now I'm going to finish the job, and I'm going to murder you. But first, I gotta kidnap you and rape you. And she's like, no, I'm not really all about that.
Actually, let's not.
He's been doing this for 10 years. Why is he making the career change now and ending it?
Right? Like, why not continue?
Yeah.
Because they're getting closer to him and he knows that.
Oh, they're closing in. So he's like, it's time to wrap this up.
Okay. So he fights him off for a little bit, but eventually he gets her down on the ground and he's got a gun to her head and he's like, all right, bitch, I guess we'll just do it this way. I wanted to strangle you, but we'll do it this way instead. And then Tag jumps up and jumps over it, and the bullet goes through his hip and into her, I think, shoulder. And that's when Xander comes in. He's okay. He's just bleeding. Somewhere in the house.
Wait, how did he get in the house?
Xander. The dog?
No, Xander.
He came in through the front door.
Still unlocked?
Still unlocked.
Well, that's just a stupid serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't, like...
Honestly.
No.
He didn't, like, put him in the trunk or something? He just knocked him unconscious on the side of the road?
Yeah, I don't think he thought that he was going to wake up. He was going to wake up that soon, and I also don't think that... I think he thought he was going to get Naomi out of the house a lot easier.
Oh. Mm.
So, I think he just thought she was going to go along with him to buy herself time or something. So,
I will say, as not a medical professional, people don't just stay passed out for a while without serious brain damage.
Right, right. Well, it may have just stunned him. So Xander comes into the house, beats the crap out of Anson.
I still don't understand why the dude didn't just kill Xander. He already has established a pattern of being totally cool with murder.
Yeah, I don't know. So,
whatever.
Doing my best.
That's fine.
And
not
so
you.
Beats the shit out of him, and then calls 911. They get her to the hospital. She ends up fine. The dog ends up fine.
Thank you.
Mason comes, her brother, to the hospital, and Xander is getting, like, stitched up in the head because he got, I don't know,
something
whacked. And the dog's like on a gurney, and the dog is like, he's okay, but he's just bleeding. And Xander says, you fucking stitch that dog up right now. And Mason's like, yeah, actually I need you to do that because it's evidence, like the bullet in him is still in him and it's evidence. So no, she, you know what, she actually jumped on top of the dog to save the dog from getting shot.
Aww.
Yeah.
So it went through her shoulder into the dog.
Yeah.
Aww. Mm-hmm. I mean, this means the dog's gonna have to wear pants for a while.
I mean, he won't be that upset.
He's already worn them before.
Yeah.
I know, like, gut reaction is, okay, well, this dog obviously wears little outfits. No, he's just wearing human jeans that are rolled up is what I'm imagining. Is this just dog pants?
No, they're just draped behind, like, dragging the tail.
I think that they might be, like, cutoffs or something that she took from...
He's wearing jorts?
I think he might be wearing jorts like that. Or, like, cotton sweatpants, something really short. I just imagine it, like, over his butt.
It is so, booty jorts.
Oh, and also she cuts a hole for the tail.
Of course.
Yeah.
So he is wearing little doggy booty jorts. Hot pant jorts.
So she gets out of the hospital. When she gets back to her house, her uncles are both there welcome her. And, like...
with a new king-size bed.
Yeah. And so Seth is like, I will carry you out of the car here. And she's like, you cannot lift me. Because Seth is an older gentleman at this point. And Xander's like, I got this. Picks her up. They take her into the backyard. They're just, like, really cute, adorable family
moment.
Bitch,
I can walk.
Yeah. Well, so, and he... So then Harry goes into the house to, like, cook a little something for her so she can take her pain pill. And there's this very casual moment of,
Wait, he proposes.
No.
Oh,
hold on. So Xander and her and Naomi are just talking about like anything, literally anything that happened and anything else that happened, right? Mm-hmm. So they're sitting on the back patio and he's like, yeah, we should put some flowers right there. We should do this to the back patio. Then, oh, we should get married, like, right there. And she's like, what?
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, we should get married right there. And I think it should be on October. And then that's all you're getting. You get 3 months, and then we're going to get married. And she's like,
okay.
And then she's like, you call that a proposal? And then Harry comes out. He's like, I think it was beautiful.
And that's finally the end.
Wow. That really, I was going to say, it's an Nora Roberts book, so it has to end in either marriage or a child. Uh-huh. Usually it's marriage.
Uh-huh.
Or proposal of marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Woo, guys! What an adventure!
So what was the plot?
Wow. That just at the very end?
Yeah, that just reared its ugly head,
oh
huh?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I gotta say, like, once the plot started, I was pretty into it. But...
You don't get into the plot, and I mean this, you don't get into the plot until 50% of the, you're 50% into the book.
That's a lot of setup.
That is a lot of setup.
Yeah.
A lot of setup, and I was like at the point, so I'm probably like, you know, 40% into the book, and I'm thinking to myself, like, wait a minute. This book started with, like, serial killers and, like, mm-hmm. all of that. When is that going to come back in? Why right. am I hearing about this house that she's flipping in Washington Sound? Like...
Yeah. So, let's rate this...
Oh, my God.
This oh mother trucker, if you
yeah.
will.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, I'm curious on... So, I have a feeling I know what your stuff is going to be for the dude and the chick, and I'm curious for your thoughts on the plot. So, let's start with our girl Naomi.
She was... It's 1 to 5, right?
Yeah, 1 to 5.
I forget every time.
We've only been doing this for a year and a half.
I know. I can't be expected to remember these right. things. I would give her a 3. I think she's fine.
Pretty
I think
middle
that
of the road.
Middle of the road, yeah. She just... A lot of the things were interesting were happening around her. She wasn't necessarily that interesting.
Mm.
But she was fine. She's a strong character. She held her own. Like, I don't think that she's... I just don't think that she's a rock star.
She didn't feel like a damsel in distress, which I
She was not.
Appreciate.
She was not at all.
She definitely took care of herself in a few situations.
Yeah.
Right.
More than a few. She took care of herself, you know, for a long time, forever.
Yeah.
You know, before
oh,
that.
Yeah.
She,
oh, yeah.
She told... And she did have the attitude of, these horrible things happened to me. I don't want them to happen again. And that forced her to rely on herself, not on somebody else.
Mm. So... If
Big
you,
self-reliance.
If you liked, if you were, if that type of female, strong female lead is your particular bag, might I recommend The Search by Nora Roberts, Rachel's Nora Roberts recommendation corner, because it's that, but done really well, and there's a plot throughout the whole book. It actually starts up, but like, I know it shows up right in the beginning.
Crazy!
It's real good. But it's that same character where it's like, this shitty thing happened to me, and I'm not gonna let that deal with, like...
Right.
Fuck me up forever, yeah. So let's
right.
move on.
But also, she does, I mean, like, she does have that moment of, like, in the argument with Xander, where she wants to be the one who ends it all because she thinks it's going to end anyway. Mm. So she does have that moment of, I'm just going to destroy this. I'm going to destroy this relationship so that I won't get hurt worse down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
not...
Maybe communication would have been better.
Maybe. It's always better.
It's always better.
Well, I mean, to be fair, she hadn't had sex on it at that point. She really needed to think about it a little bit more. You gotta have sex on that.
You gotta have some sex on that. So, there you go.
All right. Okay. What about him?
4.
He's so sweet.
He's so sweet and so healthy. He's an example for good relationships.
Honestly. You know, I like a healthy dude. I like
healthy.
A healthy human.
Okay, what's next?
Smut first.
Smut. It was fine.
Yeah.
Nora
Roberts is, like, pretty...
Fine. Very vanilla.
Yeah.
You know? Pretty much the craziest thing he does is push her up against a wall.
Yeah, that's... Yep.
That's not that's that fair. Crazy.
Middle of the road.
So, it's a wall.
It's a wall.
Right. Hey, tell me about your plot ideas. Your plot... Your thoughts on plot.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, my God. It was just, like, it was too much of... It was too much detail, which is something that I don't usually say. Because there was some more detail, more... stuff happening that I didn't even mention.
Do you know all the wall colors in the house?
Yes! I do!
But
I know the cabinet colors!
Yes!
But were they tasteful?
Was it good?
Yes. Okay. All right.
It sounded like a beautiful house, but I'm just like, and then there was like, so the general contractor's wife was also like a furniture flipper, and they're going into like very descriptive of all the stuff that she's doing for her house. And I'm like, I don't need this level of detail. I just need the plot.
This
please.
Is for some HGTV like, right. erotica.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, right.
That's, I feel like that's an untapped market.
Property yeah. Brothers.
Oh god.
It's like just oh, like, no. House, like yes, these beautiful white marble countertops.
Oh baby.
Smooth.
He's got that
and
island
texture.
HGTV After Dark.
Yeah, HGTV After Dark.
Oh god. Overall,
let's put down a tarp. We wouldn't want to make a mess.
Oh, Jesus. Oh good lord.
Oh
wait, I'm sorry. What did you rate the plot?
Oh gosh, it's really hard. I'm gonna say 2.5.
Okay, so really middle of the road?
Really middle of the road.
Okay.
And
I would have said a 2.
There were parts
so.
Of it that were really good. Okay. Like I loved hearing about like her family was really cute and stuff like that, but there was too much. Mm. Like, too much.
And yet,
much.
Not enough.
No, too much.
Well, not enough plot.
Yeah, not enough plot.
Right.
I think that's the thing, is that it was very, very descriptive of everything that was happening around her, and then the plot was just, like, sprinkled on, like, an afterthought. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I need more of that to keep this book
right.
going. To keep, to hold my interest.
Right. Bind it together, actually. Because right. it's just like, oh, well, this is a and lovely
murder.
Story, but oh, here's the murder.
Here's again. The murder. There's the murder.
Oops,
there's
all murder.
A murder. So it was, and it made the book feel very long
yeah.
sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right, so what do you think of the full book?
Oh, it would get a 4.
All right.
Yeah.
Still pretty middle of the road.
It's still, I wouldn't say don't read it.
Mm-hmm. Read The Search instead.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I disliked it.
Yes. Or better yet, Shelter in Place.
And I will say this. I love Xander. He's such a great example. He's a perfect, really is a perfect R boy.
Okay. So you were reading Twilight. What else were you reading?
I am reading a history book called Catherine the Great.
I love Catherine the Great. Oh, she's so cool.
It is really interesting. Her life was bananas.
Right?
Because I started watching that.
The Great.
The Great mm-hmm. on Hulu. To be honest, I didn't really like it.
Really?
So I decided to just pick up this book and it's really good.
All right.
It's really good. It's really long, but it's really good.
Hmm.
Crazy bananas things were happening back then. My
oh,
goodness.
Dude, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, hit me up with that book afterwards. I'm down for reading it. Savannah, what are you consuming?
It's a lot of TV right now, because
right.
it's nice like that.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just watched Hollywood on Netflix.
Ooh, was that good?
It's very good.
Okay.
It is a representation fever dream and set in old-time Hollywood, and I love it.
Ooh.
It's just amazing.
Mm. Well, hey, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, thanks for coming
Savannah,
along.
Thanks for hanging out with
thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
I hope it was fun.
It
I had fun.
Fun.
Do you wanna plug anything since your stuff's still in production, or
it's still in production? But I mean, we're still gonna be probably doing funding still.
Oh, cool!
So
plug
we're
it.
On Ko-fi now.
What is your thing?
It is Cold Storage Podcast on Ko-fi. We
mm-hmm.
have an entire cast and crew already put together. We've been delayed for recording because of the whole COVID
mm-hmm.
thing.
What's COVID? Huh?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. So we're a little bit delayed on that, but that's fine. We have more time to do a little bit of funding, make sure we have the equipment we need, and we're paying our cast. So
nice.
We're paying the money. So it's very important that we are able to do that. So we got a little bit of money already put together for that, but we're
check out
some more.
Check out their Ko-fi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Ko-feva?
Ko-feva.
Ko-feva.
Perfect. Well, that's super, super neat. And I'm actually really excited for it to come out because it sounds so cool. So, hey, check that out, y'all. It's
yeah.
going to be awesome. Keep it on your radar.
It's a good little mini series. It's going to be 12 episodes.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
See?
Hot, 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 hot.
Not only is she our friend, but also you have stuff to plug.
Yeah.
Huzzah!
Plot.
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 Plot. If you'd like plot.
If you'd
here.
Like some plot.
If you'd like
some.
A little plot, here you go.
Okay.
Would you care for some plot with your novel? No, no, thank you, sir. I couldn't possibly. Hey, one last thing. While I'm remembering, thank you, Aylin Near You, for the use of your song, Oh Love, off the album Beheld.
We
would you
love
say
it.
That?
It's such a good song.
It
I
is.
I know.
We love it.
Thank y'all for listening, and
yeah.
we'll see you again in 2 weeks from now.
Bye!
Bye!
Bye.